ആമേൻ, ഹല്ലേലൂയ, താങ്ക് യു ജീസസ്, താങ്ക് യു ജീസസ്. ഇന്ന് നമ്മൾ സങ്കീർത്തനം നിന്ന് കേട്ടു, വി ഹേർഡ് ത്രൂ ദ സാം, ഹല്ലേലൂയ. നമ്മൾ ഹല്ലേലൂയ നിത്യതയിൽ നമ്മൾ സ്തുതിക്കും. വി വിൽ താങ്ക് ഗോഡ് ഇൻ അവർ ലൈഫ് ടൈം, വി വിൽ പ്രൈസ് ഗോഡ് ബിക്കോസ് ഹി ഈസ് വേർത്തി ഓഫ് പ്രൈസ്. ഹല്ലേലൂയ, താങ്ക് യു ജീസസ്, ഹല്ലേലൂയ. ഓ ഹല്ലേലൂയ, നമ്മൾ മലയാളത്തിൽ പറയുന്നത് സ്തുതി നേരുള്ളവർക്ക് ഉചിതം. ആമേൻ, ഹല്ലേലൂയ. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഗുഡ് ടു ഗിവ് പ്രൈസ് ടു ഗോഡ്. ഹല്ലേലൂയ, 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 ഹല്ലേലൂയ. ദിസ് മോർണിംഗ് ത്രൂ ഗോഡ്സ് സെർവന്റ് സജി പാസ്റ്റർ, വി ഹേർഡ് that in our prosperity we said we will never be moved. He caused our mountain to stand. When he hid his face we were dismayed. This morning let us hope that we will never reach that point where we trust in our own skill, in our own ability, in our own process, in our own prosperity, but rather trust in the favor of God. Hallelujah. Trust in the favor of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. At the very start, I just want to thank the church for keeping me and my family in your prayers. This last week was a long week for us, especially on Wednesday. I had my grandfather's funeral. Some of you watched the live service, and then it was a blessing. God's presence was there during the meeting. I believe that many people who came were blessed by the service. I believe my grandfather fought the good fight and is in eternity. So I believe that there is nothing to be sad about it. Of course, we miss him, but I know that we are not without hope. We have hope. ആശയുള്ള ആൾക്കാർ, നമുക്ക് പ്രത്യാശയുള്ള ആൾക്കാരായതുകൊണ്ട് നമുക്ക് ദൈവത്തെ സ്തുതിക്കാം. താങ്ക് യു ജീസസ്, ഹല്ലേലൂയ. ഐ ബിലീവ് ദാറ്റ് ഗോഡ് വിൽ എനേബിൾ മീ ടു സീ ഹിം ഫേസ് ടു ഫേസ്. ഐ ഓൾസോ വാണ്ട് ടു താങ്ക് യു ചർച്ച് ഫോർ പ്രേയിങ് ഫോർ മൈ സൺസ് സർജറി. ദാറ്റ് വാസ് ഓൾസോ ഓൺ വെൻസ്ഡേ, ആൻഡ് വി വെന്റ് ടു ബേർലിംഗ്ടൺ. ഇറ്റ് വാസ് എ വെരി ക്വിക്ക് പ്രോസസ്, വെരി ഇറ്റ് വാസ് ഹാർഡ് ഫോർ മീ ആൻഡ് ബെറ്റി ടു സീ, ബിക്കോസ് we have never heard him cry like this. When they brought him back to the room, and we were sitting in the room and they put the baby in Betty's hands, we have never heard our baby cry like this. He was like really unconsolable. But even in that process, just maybe 15-20 minutes later, he was happy, he was laughing, everything turned out like normal. Doctor said it even went better than they expected. And already we are starting to see positive changes in the baby. We are seeing that he is sleeping better, he's resting better, he's able to breathe better. So really thank God for his favor upon us. I know that a lot of your prayers, I believe all of your prayers, was a shield and was a stalwart around our family. So thank you, church, for your love and your prayers towards me and my family. I just want to thank God, and I want to thank God's people for keeping us in your prayers. Amen. Hallelujah. Today, it's December 19th. This is the second last Sunday before the end of the year. So I was thinking and I was preparing and asking God, how should I give this message? What is the message that God wants me to say? And I was thinking that there is no better way than to conclude with the last message on the book of Romans for this year. Amen. Well, this is the last message for the book of Romans this year, but I'm hoping that we will be able to finish the book of Romans, and I want to conclude on the book of Romans and start with a new series, God willing, into the next year. So this time we will take just a few verses from Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 verses 1 to 7. Romans chapter 15 verses 1 to 7. Hallelujah. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of your Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, therefore accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So the last few months, actually ever since I was giving the main message here at this church, I've been on the book of Romans. And we started with Romans chapter 1, and I just read Romans chapter 15. Last time I spoke on the book of Romans was almost a month ago, and I spoke on Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 14, 15, and 16 is what I'm hoping to accomplish today. Now, if you know me, I'm a person who likes to read all of the portion and explain through passage by passage. That's how I like, it's called expository preaching. I prefer expository preaching because I think that that allows the Word of God to speak for itself. But we don't have the time to go into depth of all of these passages. And I'm just going to kind of wrap things up with this portion. Romans chapter 14 and 15 is the application of what Paul has been talking about in all of Romans. He's coming to the conclusion. In Romans chapter 12, we read that offer yourself as a living sacrifice, and they said to renew our minds, and they said you're to put on love. Or put on Christ Jesus. That's when we concluded in Romans chapter 13. And so when we come into Romans chapter 14 and 15, Paul gets to the meat of his book. He's talking about, this is the practical application so far. The point of this passage is because the church in Rome is divided. There is fights within the church. That is the reason why Paul is writing this letter. The people who are Jews or of Jewish heritage within the Church of Rome and the Gentiles who accepted Jesus Christ are in the church, are both fighting each other within the church. They are having different opinions and preferences. There is a way that they expected to be worshipped. There is a particular day that needs to be worshipped. There's a particular tradition that needs to be followed. But Paul, when he comes to Romans chapter 14 and 15, is talking about people who have these opinions and preferences and saying, let your conscience be your judge. There are people within the church who are vegetarian. Not here, but I think all of us like our meat. So, you know, we like our beef. So we are not going to sacrifice. I don't think we have vegetarians here. But in that time, in the Church of Rome, there were people who were actually vegetarian. The reason why they decided to become vegetarian is because a lot of the meat that was being cut was offered to the idols. They were offered to the Roman gods. And because of that, certain people said, we don't know which meat is being offered to the gods and not to the gods, so we will just avoid them altogether. There are people who are Jewish people, and they wanted to keep the Sabbath day as the holy day. So for them, with the Sabbath day, they're not supposed to do any work. They're not supposed to do any job. Then they don't, I don't know if you know this, but if you go to Israel, there are certain elevators called as Sabbath elevators. What this elevator does is that you, when you get into this elevator, you will not have to press any button. You know why? This elevator will stop at every floor and open up. Can you imagine that? Going to the 20th floor and floor or every level, the door has to open. You know why? Because they don't want anyone to do the work of pressing a button. So that is the Sabbath today for Israel. If in Israel, like there is these rules and laws about keeping the Sabbath day holy. It is one of the 10 commandments. You know, keep the Sabbath day holy. It's the fourth commandment among the 10 commandments. None of us keep the Sabbath day holy. It says, you shall not do any work on that day. And if you were to break the Sabbath, you were supposed to be stoned to death. If the argument to keep the Sabbath day is, there is 6 days of creation, on the seventh day, God rested. So there is good argument for keeping the Sabbath day. For example, the church that we right now are in is called Seventh-day Adventist Church, the SDA Church. They are people who keep the Sabbath day. Because they keep the Sabbath day, we get to worship here on Sunday. If they wanted to worship God on Sunday too, then we would not get this hall. So a lot of our people, we rent the churches from the, what we call them, Sabbathkar. That's what we call them sometimes. Sabbathkar, Seventh-day Adventists. Why? Because they keep the Sabbath day. What is the Sabbath day? From Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, they declare that as holy. I went to a Seventh-day Adventist school in Alberta and also in Maryland. So I know them very well. I know their theology. I know their teachings. When I first went there, they once it becomes Friday evening, they will close the laundry room and the dryers, everything will be shut. No one will have access to them. The kitchen will also be closed. I'm like, what is this? Friday evening, I want to put the clothes in the laundry. It's all closed. The only time to do the laundry is on Sunday. Because that's the day that, you know, the laundry also gets 7 days, 1 day of rest. Their machines also get rest. Okay, so I'm just saying that as like they don't want us to do work on from Friday to Saturday. That's Sabbath, their holy day. But for Paul is teaching, he said, for some of you, one day is more important than every other day of the week. For some of you, every day is equally important. Do not judge one another. Keep your day. The one who's keeping one day more important is doing it for the Lord. And the one who sees every day as equal is doing it for the Lord. Do everything for the glory of God. Again, what is this teaching? There is different opinions and preferences. The Jewish heritage Christians wanted to keep the Sabbath day holy. The Gentiles were like, every day is holy. The Christian teaching was like, on the Lord's day, which was Sunday, they started gathering to worship. But Paul, when he went into cities, would go into synagogues on the Sabbath day to preach the gospel. So it is very, very early on that Christians started meeting on Sunday. It was known as the Lord's Day, on Sunday to gather together and worship, to separate themselves from the Jewish tradition. But there were people who kept the Sabbath day as still holy. Not for gathering or worship preferences, but because that was the commandment given to them in the Mosaic Law and the Ten Commandments. And they felt it was important for them to keep it. Even today, Messianic Jews who are Christians, keep the Sabbath day holy. Today, there are Messianic Jews and they still follow what is holy and unholy meats. You ask them to eat pork, they will not eat pork. Why? Because their tradition, their teaching was that there are certain meats that are clean and there are certain meats that are unclean, so we should not eat it. Paul, in this passage itself, says, I don't think anything that God made is unclean. So he says that. And he teaches that it is not about cleanliness or uncleanness, it's what's our state inside. Jesus says, it's not what you eat that makes you unclean, but rather what comes out of your heart that makes a person clean or unclean. So, again, these are all preferences. In my house, for example, my parents don't like to eat paneerichi. They don't like pork. They don't eat pork. We don't buy pork. We don't eat pork, anything. But I happen to taste bacon. I like it. So every time I buy bacon and bring it into the house, my father and mother will start. You know what these pannies eat? You know what they eat? They eat all this dirt and bad things. In India, he tells me all the stories about what they eat. And he's like, that's what you're eating. So he will, if I'm making bacon, he will be like, he will give me a nice lecture and then walk away because that's all I can do. I'll still eat. No problem. But there is opinions and preferences. This is a light thing. This is talking about what we can eat. But within the churches, there are different opinions and preferences about so many things. I'm going to be a little bit controversial. I'm not talking about things that are important in Scripture. Scripture is important. Anything that Scripture teaches, we have to follow. There is no opinion or preference about that. But there are certain opinions and preferences that we follow that are man-made. For example, if I came in a t-shirt and came with ragged jeans and started preaching here, I think not some of you, most of you will be uncomfortable. Understandably so. Why? Because it's like he has to be respectable. He has to show a certain form. So actually, on my day that I was being interviewed for this job, when the elders were present, I asked them, is there a dress code? And the elders were like, no, there is nothing. Like, there is, we accept everyone from different dress codes, but we think that, you know, it is good. This is a good form to have that, you know, wear a nice white shirt and wear a suit. That'd be nice. Or wear a tie if it's not too uncomfortable. And I don't mind it. I don't mind wearing a tie. I don't mind wearing a suit. I don't mind wearing a white shirt. I have 4 or 5 white shirts. Might as well use them. So, but the reason why I'm saying that is because, like, I have been in different churches before. A few years ago, I was at a white church. I was their intern pastor at a white church in Stouffville. And I was there during the summer months. While I went there, I used to wear Bermuda shorts, khakis, Bermuda shorts, and wear a t-shirt, and I was doing Holy Communion. Okay? So that might be offensive to a lot of you, but that's an opinion. It's a preference. Do you guys with me so far? It's a preference or an opinion. If I walk into a white church with the munda or with the, you know, the onam, this one, they'll be like, this man is coming with a man skirt. Yeah, he's walking inside the church with a man skirt. What is this? Maybe they might think, they won't ask me because white people are a little bit more sensitive about those things. So they won't ask me, but between themselves, they might say, can you imagine that guy came with a skirt to church? Because they don't know what our traditional wear is. For them, that is too much. But for us, that's our culture. It's our tradition. There's nothing wrong with that. You see, there are different opinions and preferences within churches. I'm saying this because the church in that time and day, what they wanted is they believed how they did things was right. And it was causing a massive division within the church. The Jewish people wanted to do it in the Jewish tradition. The Gentiles wanted to do it in their Gentile traditions. But because of the clash that was coming in between, Paul wrote this letter. The whole point of writing this book of Romans is to unify the church, even though they had different opinions and preferences. Here's another thing. I don't know if I should give more examples. This will all come to haunt me at one point. But you know what? If I don't speak it, I don't think anyone will. So there are people who talk about going to theater, movie theater to watch. That's a very controversial subject. Why? Because going to a movie theater is considered wrong, especially in India. You know, like no Malayali Pentecostal will go into a movie theater. Right? Because we've seen the people who have watched movies and there is nothing to go from it. But in our TVs, do we stop ourselves from watching movies? No. So then our children usually ask this. It's like, is there anything wrong with watching movies? There is nothing wrong with watching movies, but don't go to the movie theater. Why? Because we are scared about anyone else coming and seeing our children going. It's the honest opinion. honest opinion. I'm just being absolutely honest. I know this is a little bit controversial, but I'm just giving you examples of things that we do that are opinions and preferences. Okay? I can even go and give more examples, but I think I've already put myself in hot water enough. I think I should just stop here. You know? So I'm just going to stop here. I'm not going to give more opinions or addressing these issues. What I'm saying is, Paul says this, if you think eating meat is wrong and you eat it, you will be judged for it. On the other hand, if you think that eating meat is okay, you can eat it. No problem. It's your conscience. And I'll tell you a story. So, all my life growing up, I never went to a movie theater. Okay? I never went to a movie theater because growing up in the Middle East, my parents taught me, don't go to a movie theater. I came to America and I still didn't go to a movie theater. I was 17 years old at the time. And my cousins were in, they were brethren, they were attending in New York, and they're in Long Island. So I decided to go and visit them. All my cousins decided, let's go outside. So they went outside to a restaurant, and they said, let's go and eat. And I said, sure, let's go and eat. So we were all eating food together. It's the first time I'm going to a fancy restaurant with my cousins. And then after that, they all decided to go and watch a movie. They didn't consult me. They decided to go watch a movie. I'm the only guy there, and all my older cousins and all are going to watch a movie. I was like, oh no, what do I do? Can I tell them to drop me off home? Can I tell them? So I was like, you know what? They already bought the ticket for me. I'll just go. I'll keep my eyes closed. Okay? So I went inside the movie theater, kept my eyes closed, but I'm listening to it. So then I just slowly opened my eyes and then I watched the movie. Okay? I still remember that feeling that I was coming out of the theater. I honestly thought God is going to send a lightning and strike me there. It was not a bad movie. It was a good movie with a good message. But I thought going to a movie theater is so wrong that if I come out, God is like, you sinned. I'm going to send a lightning to it. I felt so guilty of my sin. You see, the reason why I'm saying is my conscience was pricked because I was raised in that form and tradition that going to the theater was wrong. And so for my conscience, I felt it was sinful. Does that make sense? So Paul says, if your conscience does not allow you, don't do it. And there are some things where consciously the Spirit of God can lead us and say, don't do it. Here's another example I will give. All of us will agree that watching sports is not a sin. It's not wrong to watch sports. Imagine now that I am so much into sports. I love watching cricket. And I am into the sport and I'm always like, and the minute, anyone hits the sixer or hits the ball and it goes above the stadium, I get so excited. I start jumping and I'm so happy. All the kids are like, what is sixer? You know, what is the sick? But I remember that, you know, we used to get so excited. Now imagine that the Spirit of God convicts me and says, Joel, you're watching too much sports. You're into it too much. Cut it out from your life. Sometimes the Spirit of God can do that. Sometimes the Spirit of God will say, stop. Don't watch sports. It's sin for you. I come to church, I stand up and say a big testimony. God spoke to me that watching sports is a sin. And I tell everyone, no one should watch sports. Is that right? No. God spoke to me and told me that watching sports is a sin for me. So I need to self-discipline myself so that I will not watch sports. But now, if I'm continuing in that, it is sin for me. Does that make sense? I saw this happen in the Middle East. There was one person who was convicted by God to shave his Misha. He had nice, thick Misha. Okay? And he was convicted by God to shave his Misha. So he... all of a sudden people are covering up with their masks, okay? So there, but he was convicted by God to shave his Misha. So he decided to stand in church. This is in a church in Sharjah, and gave a big testimony saying that God has called me and told me that anyone who keeps a Misha on is a sinner and had to shave. And a huge fight broke within that church. People started arguing about their opinion. What should be done? What should not be done? And the people who were with Misha, it's like, the Bible says, do not shave the side of your beards. And then there is arguing back and forth. Finally, what happened is, the church split. And the person who spoke up started his church of his own. All of them were clean shaven there. Okay? The reason why I'm saying that is this is an opinion, and oftentimes it causes friction within the church. Because we feel that if God spoke to me about something, this must be universally followed by everyone. But remember, preference and opinion is not the same weight as Scripture. If Scripture teaches us something, we follow it. For example, with regard to head covering, there is scriptural warrant for following head covering. This is not something that is optional. Paul says towards the end, he says that if this is what the church follows, do as your conscience allows. Now, if your conscience is not being pricked, continue, no problem. But if your conscience is being pricked, follow it. Again, Paul says, this is a matter about conscience. So, we don't quit or point towards someone else. Now, I know that when, for example, I use another example. I don't know how much I should say. But let's say that we're going to a restaurant. We're going to sit and eat. We usually pray and bless the food. How many of our Antimar and Chichimar will cover their head during that time? I'm just giving an opinion. I'm just stating what we don't do. But I'm just saying, even in these matters, let us not cause it to become a friction where we start fighting each other. Paul is writing about this because he's talking about what unifies the church. He's telling you Gentiles and you Jews, both of you are sinners. Both of you are weak. He's teaching them about the gospel. Suvisesham yendu vana. What is the gospel? The gospel is about Christ Jesus, that he died for us. So he says that this is what is the mark of being a Christian. It is not about our traditions that keep us Christians. What is it about a Jew that makes us a Jew? Who is the true Jew? A person who has spiritual circumcision. What does spiritual circumcision mean? They walked in the newness of life and they dwell in the Spirit of God. How do we know who is dwelling in the Spirit of God? You shall know them by their fruits. What is their fruit? Love. And this is how he comes and concludes this letter and says, now, if love is what needs to be our fruit, then I will not do something that is offensive to my brother or sister. This is the tough message. Even in my opinions and my preferences, even though I think it is okay for me to do whatever and wear whatever on Sunday service, out of love, I will choose to do what is right to not cause offense to anyone else. Paul says, I would rather become a vegetarian so that I will not offend another brother or sister. That is love. Not about being right. Not about saying, maybe you're weak. Maybe your spirit is weak. Maybe your intellect is weak. You don't have any reasons. Rather than speaking against them, doing things out of love. Laying ourselves down. This is what Christ did. That's what Christ did. So when we read verse 15, chapter 15, verse 5. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is saying, have the same mind as that of Jesus Christ. What is the mind? Renewing our mind. What was it? Love. Because Jesus had love, he laid his own life down so that we can gain from his life. So in the same manner, we for our brothers and sisters ought to lay down our life so that we can come with one voice in one accord. You know, often this is a question that people ask, you know, sometimes as a joke, just take it. It says, what is the car that the first disciples had? Honda Accord, because they were all in one accord. Okay, it's a joke, because in Acts chapter 2 verse 1, it says they were gathered together in one accord. That is where the Spirit of God comes down. So there is reason that we need unity. We have different opinions. We have different preferences. Let go. Some of us like kanni and bean store and after fasting prayer. Some of us want parotta and beef. Let go. It's a preference. I'm just using an example. Let go. Let us die for one another. This is the true love. And I will end with this. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 to 20. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. For the report of your obedience has reached to all. Therefore, I am rejoicing over you. But I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. When Paul ends this, so Romans chapter 14 and 15 is talking about these opinions and preferences. You can go home and read them. The whole point of me preaching Romans is not that now I fully understood Romans, I don't have to touch this book again. No, we have to keep going through this book again and again. There's so much spiritual truth in this. But when we come into Romans chapter 16, Paul talks about him wanting to come to visit Rome and raise money so that he can go and visit Spain. So he also talks about raising. And so he says that ministry is not something that needs to be done alone. Pastors are not the one to do ministry alone. He gives a list of names of people who support him, who encourage him, who build him up, who persevered with him. He talks about fellow apostles, Junia and Jubilius and their brother and sisters. He talks about Aquila and Priscilla, who have a church of their own, their own house. So he talks about all these brothers and sisters and the ministries that they're doing and says that I'm also one among them. As a church, I know that we have pastors here, but don't think of them as the ones doing ministry. We are doing ministry together. We all are doing ministry together. There are times when your pastor will need ministering too. There are times when he will need some to be encouraged. There are times when I as a pastor will need disciplining. You as my church family and church body, I invite you to come forward and do this. Because we as pastors need ministering too. This is a healthy church. This is a church that Paul is telling Romans church to be. Come together. See the unifying work of Christ. Be spirit-filled believers. And I pray that as we come into the new year, as we are entering into 2022, we will be a church that is marked by the Spirit of God. We will be a church that is known for our love. We will be a church that has the renewing of mind and have put on Jesus Christ and do not fulfill the desires of the flesh or the lust of the flesh. I pray that our church will be a church just like Paul envisioned the church of Rome to be. That is the message. Let us be the church of Christ. Let us be the body of Christ. Let us be believers who stand with certain discipline and with integrity in a day when the world is getting more wicked and evil. Let us not lose sight. Our Christ is coming back soon. And let us live in these last days as truth, as witnesses for the gospel, and bring glory to His names. I just want to end my words here. I'll just say a word of prayer. Father, Lord Jesus, we thank You, Father, for Your presence. We surrender ourselves as a church into Your mighty hands, God. Father, I pray that we will be a church that is marked by Your love, that is marked by Your presence, that will glorify Your name in the midst of this wicked world. I pray, Father, that as we enter into the new year, our church will continue to make a difference in this world, and let Your name be glorified. We thank You, Father, for Your name. In Jesus' mighty precious name we pray. Amen. After the worship team comes and plays a song, I'll invite Pastor Josh Phillip to come and say concluding remarks. God bless you all.